Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettay along with Charlie Long. We're taking you to 8 o'clock tonight. It'll be our NFL schedule release night. Also talking all about Saints' schedule when it comes out official at 7 o'clock. I want to tell everybody, because we've had some texts and also some callers about it, Bobby J would be with us, but he's on vacation this weekend. He's out in Europe. I think he's in Turkey right now. I know I got a text from him at 1:35 this morning, so he's still uncertain about that time frame difference. But Bobby won't be with us tonight, but he will be back next week. I think he comes in the 21st, and he'll be talking about the Saints, Derek Carr, and also the situation with the Saints' schedule. On our Oakland Hard Jewelers Talk and Text line from D1 Baseball, Mark Etheridge. Mark, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Yeah, guys, always fun to talk some ball with you.
Mark, a couple questions. The new format with the SEC in Hoover, and how much emphasis do you place on that, winning a conference championship today? Because, you know, you regular season is looked at and, you know, strength of schedule, but I think it's changed a little bit about the conference champion, to be honest with you.
I agree with you. The conferences are just so big and they're so unbalanced. The schedules are. I really don't think that the conference title means what it used to mean. I mean, sure, you'd like to win it if given the option, but I don't think it's the true measure of the best team in the conference like it once was. Just because, I mean, if you played South Carolina and Missouri this year, you had an advantage over someone who didn't, right? And it's, if one of you went 16-14 and played those guys and the other one went 18-12 and didn't, you know, or vice versa, I mean, you really – those schedules are just different. So I do think that the conference tournament will be interesting if you have something to play for. And because you've got, you know, like the top four teams get double byes, so just like basketball, if you recall that format, you're going to be able to get – you're going to start on Thursday or Friday, depending on what seed you are, and only play three games maximum. So you could just do your normal rotation, and I really think what a lot of teams will do is they'll throw, assuming they win, right? It's one and done if you lose. But if you win, you're gonna throw your normal guy, but you're not going to extend him. You're gonna get him out of there after whatever you're comfortable at, maybe 75 pitches, something like that, so that you know he's fresh for next week. And I think that's going to be interesting because you're going to have on the other side teams that have something to play for, perhaps. I know Missouri, you know, they have nothing to gain this weekend's conference series against Mississippi State. They're going to hold two of their best pitchers for Hoover. So it's going to be interesting because you're going to have those kind of guys, you know, early in the week who hold their best pitcher against somebody. They're going to be playing an opponent with something to play for this weekend, trying to host. So it's going to be all those little strategy things that's going to make it a lot more interesting, or at least add to the interest in this new format.
Mark, one of the things this coming weekend, and we'll have it here starting tomorrow, I think pregame is at 5:30. Tomorrow night's first pitch is at 6 o'clock as LSU plays South Carolina, is to see what happened with South Carolina and Paul Maneri taking over. Couple years back, I told a story in talking to Coach Maneri. He hinted to me very loudly that he wanted to coach again. But I knew that, you know, just from his comments, he didn't like NIL. He didn't like the transfer portal. And he was always a guy, even at LSU, that the assistant coaches did a lot of the recruiting. And Paul would kind of be the guy to seal the deal at the end. Today, that's not going to work, you know, in today's version of college baseball. And it's showing up right now in South Carolina. Not that he inherited a lot of talent, but I'm wondering, moving forward, do South Carolina decides to keep him because of the fact, and he's been a great coach throughout this time frame, but, man, times change, and you got to change with it. I hope if Coach Maneri continues to manage, he will change along with everybody else. But it doesn't look to be that way.
Well, certainly the sport has changed, and especially at the top of the sport, where, you know, at the SEC, it's so much different than it was, say, 3-4 years ago, where you could then, yeah, it was about recruiting, and it was about building your team and managing and leadership and all that sort of stuff, running a program. And that's still part of it. But the other part of this is you're doing a whole lot of non-baseball stuff. You're raising money for NIL programs. You're trying to keep your players from hitting the portal, and really negotiating, I won't call it salary, we'll call it compensation with them so that they stay. And sometimes that's happening during the season. It's just a whole different deal. And if you've been coaching the same way for your entire career, it's certainly an adjustment. It's an adjustment anyway. But you can imagine how someone who's been so successful like Paul, now he gets in this and he's got to figure it out or else he's not going to last very long. And I understand the reservations about it, but it's reality. I mean, I don't look for it to change. I know that there's a lot of interest in trying to clean some things up, add some guardrails. But every time the NCAA tries to do something, the courts strike it down. So I think we've got what we got, and you've got to figure out how to exist inside it.
So, Mark, I want to get your thoughts on South Carolina because, yes, Pulmonary and what's happened in his first year with the Gamecocks is one story. I listened to Joe Healy do his weekend waypoints every weekend talking about the weekend series, and he makes a great point with South Carolina that it's a talent issue with the Gamecocks. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not all on the management as much as some South Carolina fans would like to say, but if you just look at the numbers, they're number 13 in the SEC in offense, a .269 batting average. But what really strikes me is they're number 15, second to worst in the SEC in ERA with 6.28, and they're holding opponents to a .264 batting average. That's just not going to win anywhere. I want to get your thoughts on, you know, your scouting report of South Carolina ahead of this weekend series. And another thing that also popped up recently, I heard that Ethan Petrie, who's been out the last couple weekends, was potentially going to return this weekend, but Paul gave an update today saying that he's not feeling well, and it's unlikely that he could potentially play. And that's a big key piece on that South Carolina offense as well. So just your scouting report on the Gamecocks.
Yeah. 3 weeks ago, it would have been different than what I'm going to tell you now. 3 weeks ago, they were a team that lost a lot of close games, but they fought hard. They were competitive. It just, you know, I agree with Joe. They came out on the wrong end of some close games. But unlike Missouri, who was just getting thumped every weekend, South Carolina, they were in it. But these last few weeks, I mean, Florida came in and just absolutely drubbed them. Auburn last weekend, oh, my God, that was non-competitive for two of the three games, including the Thursday game that was, you know, it was drubbing. And that's concerning, right? Because even Missouri, who took their lumps, has played better at the end of the year. They've got some guys back, young guys get better, that sort of thing. South Carolina's gone the other direction, and that's the kind of thing that generates apathy. It gets the fans upset. It's just it's not in a healthy place right now. And I'm assuming that the Paul and his staff will come back and they'll get a chance to maybe they address some things with recruiting and NIL and try to basically restock the talent, just like Georgia did when Wes Johnson came in and just really brought in a whole new team from the portal. I think that's probably what we're looking at if they have the appetite for it. And you mentioned Ethan Petrie. He did come back last night, went 0-for-4 with two strikeouts, and they took him out late in the game as he was kind of clutching his shoulder. So he had a setback. You know, you always want to come back as soon as you can, and maybe it was a couple of days too soon because it just didn't work out for him. And that's a huge blow. He's the best hitter. He's going to be a pro guy, a good draft, I guess 2 months from now. It's a real problem for them because they aren't overly talented anyway, and you lose your best stick. So pitching's been a problem. Run prevention in general, defense, not just errors, but are you making the plays that you need to make range-wise? it's not a very good team right now. And I feel like LSU, you know, if LSU plays South Carolina in week two or three, they might be taking two out of three. You know, that may be the goal. But this week, you've got to go in there and kick them on their down and get that sweep.
Mark, give me a couple of non-SEC teams that you think could make a run at this, could win the whole ball of wax. Because, I mean, pretty much a lot of people, if they get a coin, they're going to put it on an SEC team. But maybe give me a couple teams that you've seen in their development that you think's really got a shot, you know, that could potentially win a national championship.
There's not any. The sport has changed, and because of the portal, the mid-majors have become feeder teams for the top of the sport. So while you do have some quality, you know, mid-majors, Coastal Carolina is a good one. I think they're going to host a regional. They could make it to Omaha, but they're not going to win the title, barring something crazy. It's just the difference in the resources, the talent, the money, the coaching, all of that is just at another level, not just at the SEC, but the top ACC programs. You know, the Florida States and Clemson's are that way as well. But to answer your question, I mean, Southern Miss is a good team, but they have a really tough series with Troy this weekend. Troy is the only team in the country that has not lost a weekend series. And they seemingly win two out of three every weekend. And Southern Miss has to go there. So that's a really nice mid-major matchup. They're both going to be regional teams. Southern Miss even has an outside shot to host if they were to get a little bit of RPI bump here late. And they've got a really good ace in J.B. Middleton, he's an SEC arm. He's a really good pitcher. So it's different than it was a few years ago because, I mean, you look at the top, if you look at the Sun Belt, you look at the SoCon, the top the American, look at their all-conference teams and the guys that have eligibility, look where they end up in the portal.
So, Mark, if you're looking at this weekend series with LSU and South Carolina, just, you know, as I mentioned, the pitching staff and the run prevention, as you had kind of said, it's been a huge issue for them all year long. And that was really on display in that opener against Auburn. I mean, it happened against Florida, as you also kind of said earlier. Steve and I were texting back and forth, and we just saw them get drummed. I think it was last Thursday against Auburn in that opener, like 24-2. Just like, what is happening with this program? As you mentioned, they're kind of in a bad spot at this point. But I want to get your thoughts on the offense because the very next game, you know, they showed a lot more fight, put up 10 runs on a good Auburn pitching staff. Wanted to get your thoughts on any kind of players in that lineup that could potentially test LSU's pitching staff this weekend.
Well, certainly Henry Kazmaugh is a shortstop. He was a transfer from Ohio State. He's been a guy they expected a lot from and has been maybe a little bit down from what we hoped, but he's super talented. They've got a freshman. What's his name? Bo Hollins. His dad was a big leaguer, and he's a guy who's had quite a few hits, clutch hits. Nathan Hall is probably their most talented player. Just a big, toolsy, rangy outfielder, big, strong, fast. He's been fighting some injuries, but he came back last weekend. I think he'll return. That's probably the main group. KJ Scobie would be a freshman that I think he's going to be a player. He's just, you know, it's just tough in this league as a freshman. There's not many like Curiel or Chris Rimbert or those guys are around the league right now.
So Mark, my last one for you, you know, with D1 baseball's most recent field of 64 projection, LSU's the 2 seed behind Texas. And I think mm-hmm. 6 of the top 8 are from the SEC, too, as far as those top 8 national seeds. LSU, we get this text all the time. We've asked a couple different people, Todd Walker, Joe Healy. Now I'm going to throw it at you as well. With a 17-10 record this weekend against South Carolina, what do they need to do to feel completely safe as a top 8 national seed with the home path to Omaha? Because with the SEC tournament the way it is, they've changed it so that it's a single elimination thing the whole way throughout. Joe had a great point when he was on with us last week that it's more of kind of a garnish than anything else. Like, it can help you, but if you get dinged and you lose in your first game in the SEC tournament in Hoover and you're eliminated, it may not necessarily hurt you as far as the hosting chances or top eight national seed chances, if you're, you've already hit a certain number in SEC wins in the regular season. So I wanted to ask you, this weekend at South Carolina, is it 19? Is it 20 for LSU to feel real safe with that top eight national seed?
Well, it's comparing yourself against the other contenders, and I really feel like LSU is in a great position. If I had to put a number on it, I'd say two more wins. The other thing you mentioned about the conference tournament is, since it's not double elimination, you're not going to pick up two losses. So, you know, even if you go 0-1, you know, it's not the 0-2 in barbecue like we got used to. That could really hurt you. You know, but picking up those two losses where one is more negligible. I do feel like there's just a bevy of teams that have really similar resumes, and we'll have to find out you know, how the committee is going to address them, because you have Georgia, Auburn, and Vanderbilt have really high RPIs, and then you have Texas, LSU, and Arkansas, whose RPIs are just right a notch below that, but have better standings and honestly, I think are better teams. But it's really hard to understand what the committee is going to do. And we had a chance to talk to J.R. Teagues, who's, you know, the Southeastern Louisiana Athletic Director, who's the chairman of the selection committee. We got something that's going to run on D1 Baseball tomorrow, where we had a roundtable with him and ask him these kinds of questions. And it really does come down to what the individual committee member values, whether it's they feel more confident or impressed by what a team has done from an RPI standpoint with your strength of schedule, or whether it's versus, hey, this team won head-to-head, this team has a better conference record, this team has more showcase wins, you know, the big series wins. And what do you value? And that's – we don't really know, and that's what we're going to find out now, because – with these bloated conferences where everybody doesn't play each other, conference record used to be something we could count on. And I think now it's going to be a lot less important just for those reasons that we talked about.
Mark, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always great insights. Appreciate your time, brother. And they keep you busy 24/7, man, 365. It's almost like us in football. You get a little bit of downtime, but, man, we sort of like it, because them dog days of summer for us, you know, when it comes mid-June to mid-July, man, there's not a lot going on. But, you know, baseball keeps us the heart beating, so to speak.
I'm with you, man. There's plenty to talk about, plenty to write about.
There you go. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it, bud.
Yep. Sure.
Thanks, Mark.
Mark Etheridge from D1 Baseball. I want to tell you, WWL is your home for LSU baseball. Up next for the Tigers, South Carolina Gamecocks in a three-game series in Columbia, South Carolina. And it all starts tomorrow night, 5:30 will be pregame, first pitch at 6 p.m., and you can stream it live on the free Odyssey app. Also, game two, same situation, 5:30 pregame, 6 o'clock first pitch. And then game three Saturday, pregame at 1:30 and first pitch at 2 o'clock. And you can hear it live right here on the Big 870 WWL, and also streaming live on the Odyssey app.